Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Compliance Week News Podcast for the week of Friday, November 18th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to delve into the world of boardroom management and when board directors can become too bogged down in monitoring and oversight duties at the expense of providing strategic business advice, which, while we may all forget this in our regulated world these days, that is what directors are hired to provide in the first place. We have a new piece of research out from Professor Rani Hoitash. He is a professor of business at Bentley University. He, along with two fellow researchers, were exploring the balance between monitoring duties and advising duties, and what happens when boards might have too much of one but not enough of the other, and if that has any repercussions for overall company health. So, Professor Take, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Matt. I just wanted to take a moment and also thank my co-authors from Northeastern University, Professors Ulbunmi Faleye and Professor Udi Hoitash, who co-authored the study together with me.
All right. Thank you. So now, first question is just, broadly speaking, your research found that there is a certain balance between the two board duties of monitoring and of providing strategic advice. I guess maybe you tell us exactly what you were setting out to do there and what you found.
Okay, we started our research from a very simple notion that we kind of face in our daily life routines. We are daily faced with multiple tasks, and we kind of have to balance our daily responsibilities with limited availability of time. So then we took this particular rationale and tried to apply to corporate boards, and we know that basically there are two primary responsibilities that board of directors have. Mm-hmm. The primary one is to monitor management, and the other one is to basically advise to management and create firm value. And we thought that it would be interesting to try and examine kind of the trade-offs between these two activities, given that directors' time is limited, the compensation they receive from their respective firm is limited, and how would they make this particular decision given, you know, what we can measure with publicly available information.
Tell mm-hmm. us more about what you found then.
Okay, so the setting that, let me first tell you kind of how we measure, and that we recognize that this is a relatively crude proxy to try and measure whether a particular board is kind of more heavily involved in monitoring as opposed to, and we view the complement of that as heavily involved in advising. So we basically look at how many committees independent directors sat on, and we specifically are interested in the audit, compensation, and nominating committee, which are the we view them as a primarily monitoring committees.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about this setting and you think that some directors serve on these committees, then maybe we can aggregate this particular measure into the overall board measure. The overall board, and we can create kind of an indicator whether most of the independent board members serve on two or more of these committees. And if they do, then we'll define this particular board as more involved with monitoring activities, and those that, I guess, where directors are less involved in these committees, are less involved in monitoring activities. So we took this simple concept, and then we applied it to a number of measures that relate to the effectiveness of board monitoring. And the one that everyone probably is familiar with is executive compensation. And excessive executive compensation is generally viewed negatively, and if the board is generally performs higher quality monitor, they would be more successful at curtailing excess CEO compensation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one thing that we did, and we found that board that with greater monitor intensity, so they're more involved in monitoring, their CEOs receive less excess compensation, which is consistent with you doing more monitoring then you're more successful at it. Similar evidence we find with respect to earning quality, which we measure with accruals, and also with respect to disciplining CEOs with dismissals upon poor performance, so basically following poor performance. We found that boards that monitor more intensely are going to be more likely to discipline the CEO in that particular fashion. So what we basically endeavor to do is kind of not look at one measure, but rather kind of triangulate and look at various measures to get an overall picture whether what we observed is consistent across measures, and that's what indeed we found.
Mm-hmm. But now that is the value of monitoring can keep closer attention on corporate behavior, but is it possible to, go overboard on monitoring and wind up giving short shrift to the advisory job that directors also are supposed to be providing?
Absolutely, and this is where we felt that research did not spend a lot of time on how all of this comes together. As we well aware of the SEC, and there's a lot of regulation that comes to actually strengthen monitoring, but what are the potential unintended consequences? Can you go overboard, like you said, with excessive monitoring, and what are the consequences of that? And in order to create value, there are a number of academic papers that would suggest that there need to be a collaboration between executives, primarily the CEO, and the board. And if the CEO feels as if the board is monitoring too intensely, it could potentially cause the CEO to share less information, to come less often and seek advice from independent directors, and that could certainly harm the firm and detract the value. So that's indeed what we did. We basically examined whether boards that are monitoring more intensely are associated with less innovation, as we measure with R&D investments and patent citations,
mm-hmm.
With less successful mergers and acquisitions, with lower firm value. And indeed, we find that in all cases where the board is monitoring more intensely, there is evidence that firm value, either directly and overall, as we measure with Tobin Q, or indirectly, based on merger success, patent investment, and R&D investment, just suffers.
So in brief then, what would be the optimal structure for independent directors serving on which committees and so forth to ensure that you do have strong oversight, but you're not going to wind up, paying too much attention to that and creating a drag on firm value? What should the makeup of this look like in theory?
Okay, that's a million-dollar question,
mm-hmm.
To which, unfortunately, I do not have the perfect answer, but I do have some kind of pointers.
Sure.
That probably I could share with the audience. The one thing that I can tell you is that we don't believe, based on our research and based on our reading of other research papers, is that the one-size-fits-all approach that seems to be advocated is optimal on average for all firms. You would see that there is a move towards smaller boards because there is a view that larger boards are just not as effective.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, based on some of the research that we have been looking at, is that it's not always the case. Some companies have a certain structure that requires larger boards because of their complexity and the number of business segments and geographical locations that they operate within. So that definitely creates potentially the need for more boards. There's also the issue of trying to identify directors' talent and what are they good in doing. So think about Warren Buffett, who serves on the board of the Washington Post. or at least until recently when I last checked it. And it wouldn't probably be the best utilization of Mr. Buffett's time to put him on the audit committee, where he's going to spend time going over papers and reviewing auditor documents and things of that sort. Probably his time would be better served as advising the CEO on high important strategic issues. And indeed, if you look at his service on the Washington Post board, you would find that, again, back in time, as far as I reviewed his record, he does not serve on this committee. So that's an evidence, for example, where you utilize someone based on their skills. But I suspect that it is not always the case. So definitely identifying the talent of the individuals within the company is something that companies might want to consider.
And you know, one last question briefly. Just when you look at the current political and regulatory environment out there, it does seem that the conventional wisdom is somewhat running against your conclusions. We hear all the time people saying that directors should be held more accountable, they should be watching things more closely, and piling on more and more duties onto directors. And at some point, that might run counter to the idea that they really should be there also to advise management and just sit back and have some thoughts rather than obsess over compliance with every single regulation and management of every risk that comes along. But, I mean, that's what people seem to be talking about quite a bit these days.
Matt, you're absolutely right. There seems to be more emphasis on monitoring, and I don't think that we advocate or think that it's going to go away. We think that, you know, the monitoring intensity and requirement of board members is probably going to stay pretty much the same, if not even going to increase as we have seen recently. So boards might want to think about some ways to deal with it. For example, think about the board size again. Is it really beneficial to have smaller boards to deal with all this amount of work that is required? Mm-hmm. How about the number of independent directors? Can we increase, if we do increase the board size in order to handle all of this additional requirement and additional regulation, maybe we should increase the number of independent directors. Should we reconsider again the size of the committees, the mandatory committees? Do we really need 5 individuals on the audit committee? Can we do away with 3 individuals on the audit committee? Maybe thinking again about the allocation of members into committees, right? Who should serve on each on which committee? Maybe we want to burden some individuals a little bit more with compliance and regulation and leave some directors free of that, similarly to Warren Buffett, and have them be more devoted to the strategic advising and value creation activities. Now, I'm not saying that that all of these solutions should be adopted at once by all companies, but these are definitely some of the things that companies want to consider when they're thinking about how to balance their monitoring and advising responsibilities.
All right. Well, Professor Hoytosh, that's all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Ronnie Hoytosh. He is a professor of business at Bentley University. He's been talking with us about striking the proper balance of oversight and management and advisory duties for corporate board directors. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.